Welcome, everyone, to the Space Game Junkie podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining us, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
Heidi-ho.
And we have a guest this week, another Paul. We've had so many Pauls on this show now. I think this is honestly the fourth or fifth Paul we've had in 40 shows. That's a one to what? We've had like five. Let's say we've had five Pauls. That's a 1 in 8 ratio of Pauls.
It's like wall-to-wall Paul in here.
You're just punting the puns tonight, Jim.
In fact, we're going to start it now. We'll start the Paul of Fame, and Paul will be the first inductee into the Paul of Fame.
I'm going to write that down so we know to do it. We'll have to figure out how to present this, but the podcast Paul of Fame. There we go. Because we have so many Pauls. So, Paul Lauzon, I see. I told you I would ruin it. Paul? Where are you from, Paul?
I'm from near Montreal, actually.
Our neighbor to the north.
Yeah.
And that is on the eastern side of Canada, right?
Yes.
Okay, wow.
That's right across the English Channel. No?
America's
that's a different French thing. Oh, wait, he's Canadian.
Yes, different.
Oh, okay. All right, never mind. He's the good French.
So, Paul,
then.
You are working on a game that's currently in Kickstarter called StarQuest II United Galaxies. And the funny thing about this one, but the interesting thing about this one is that it's the sequel to a 1995 game called what? StarQuest I, the 27th Century.
Correct, yes.
Now, I've actually played that game. I bought it.
Oh, you did?
I bought it at a computer fair. Like 1996 when they'd have CD racks of games.
Isn't that back when games used to come in a Ziploc bag? And
they still could have, but no, this is back when you can go to a show and they'd have like boxes full of CDs and you find the most random stuff. And I found this one there. I played it a bit, but I haven't really played it since. I still have the CD though, surprisingly.
Okay.
But so when I saw on your Kickstarter that as a sequel to that game, I was like, oh my god, that game. Because I'll be honest with you, someone actually used that game to test my space game knowledge on a forum I'm on. Someone's like, yeah, this game was in the mid-90s, and you flew different missions, and you could do these different things. I'm like, StarQuest I? They're like, Jesus, man. How do you know all this? It's in the name of the site, man. It's in the name of the site. So you are currently kickstarting the sequel, which, as your Kickstarter says, you originally prototyped in 1999. So let me ask, what happened between 1999 and 2013?
Well, I mean, we ran out of funds, if you read the project.
Right.
So basically, I've been paying my game debts. Like, I mean, we ran out of fun, and I had a lot of, you know, credit margin up to the roof, and I kind of, you know, went to doing software consulting for many years.
Interesting.
And I mean, I still updated the game like once in a while, you know, thinking, okay, one day I'm going to finish this, because like we spent a few years, you know, working on this, and it was a big disappointment when we realized we couldn't find a publisher, because back then, you know, there was no like internet to sell the game or Steam or things like that. So, and without a publisher, I mean, we already had realized, like with our first game, StarQuest I, that without a publisher, like you wouldn't sell much. I mean, you sell a few thousand, but not enough to live, and more so like to make a next game out of the money.
Do you own the rights for StarQuest I? Like free and clear, there's no entanglements?
Yes, we only like there was like five publishers that signed license to like redistribute it, like copy it, etc. But that was it. There were like non-exclusive license.
Okay, because I was thinking to fund the second game, could you give distribution rights to Good Old Games? And then they could put the first game back out on the market, get, kind of get some attention for it, and give you a little bit of injection of cash, too, to work on the second one.
They could, yeah, for sure. It could happen. I mean, in my mind, I mean, I never thought of, you know, trying to push that game because it's so old. Like,
dude,
you know, does games? I don't see anybody
playing. Dude, you're leaving money on the table.
Absolutely.
Seriously.
Go to GOG.com. We'll wait.
Okay.
And no, they're seriously. I mean, you could probably do a significant chunk of your funding if you got distribution.
Why not?
For them, because
the long tail
is great on these games.
What's the worst that could happen? They could say no. I mean, and they say yes, you have a new distribution channel for your original game. Now, I'm looking at the disc. I had to go through my massive binder of discs here. I'm looking at the disc, and the one I have is published by Software Solutions in Ontario,
that was one
Canada.
Of the fifth. That was one of the five publishers we licensed it to.
The disc is actually numbered. 60,062. Wow, I feel like I have a special edition or something.
The winning lottery number.
Yeah, something like that. It's a zip code or something. Oh, and I still have the instruction sleeve. Wow, there you go. These instructions are basically put it in the C/SQ1 directory, just like you told me in our email discussion.
Yes. Same
exact thing. That's funny.
So one thing that I was looking on YouTube you put a video up about a month ago of SQ1, and I was looking at that, and I'm thinking, hey, if that was available right now for like $3 or $5 on Good Old Games, I'd jump on it. And
really?
Especially, and it would be a promotional thing for your new game, because it would be like, you know, this is released and all proceeds go toward development of the new game, and, you know, then you can kind of get eyes on it.
Yeah, it's a piece of space gaming history, really. Why not? You know, I mean, GOG does pretty well with the space games. You know, the Free Spaces, the Wing Commanders, the Conquests, you know. Mm-hmm. They have a good selection. So, there is nothing wrong, I see, with putting that on GOG. I mean, they're awesome. So, even though I buy the disc, I will double dip on that because I'm crazy and I have to own everything. But besides that, Jim is absolutely right. I mean, this GOG would be a fantastic place to show off, you know, what you could do with 1995 technology.
Mm, sounds good.
I mean, there are games on there that are older than that, I think. That is going back away. Yeah,
it's funny because Mike, who's sitting here next to me, had spent like the previous week playing Wasteland 1. So,
okay.
So you want to talk about back, right? So the long tail on software is pretty incredible.
Oh, I don't know what I was thinking. GOG has tons of games pre 1995.
Hey, what was that one when we were talking to Chris Roberts? He said that his brother made it was the
Privateer?
RTS thing.
No,
it was the RTS game. It was one of the ones. One of the last things that they made right before Freelancer.
Conquest.
Yeah, Conquest.
Oh, that's a wonderful game.
Yeah.
That's more Eric Peterson, I think, than Eric Roberts. But such an amazing game. But so now you've got a Kickstarter running for the second one. And, Paul, so tell us about StarQuest II, because I played the prototype, and it had some RTS elements, and it had some sim elements, and the Kickstarter says it has racing elements as well.
Yes, I mean, StarQuest II, actually StarQuest I already had some racing element, and that's something I wanted to keep. I mean, it's not necessarily like the focus point of the game.
Sure.
It's more like, you know, let's say the sports of the galaxy or something like that. And it adds a feeling of, you know, like you're relaxed, like you're just going to go and do your race, get your credits, and then you can fund your next engine or, you know, upgrade your ships with something else from the money you make from the race. And the racing back then in StarQuest One was a little simpler, but the new ones we plan to have like some, you know, like target practice, like kind of biathlon kind of shooting. some other, like maybe some power-ups, maybe even turrets shooting at you while you pass. So you have to use your repair bots to, you know, to basically end up not dead. And you could have like even bomb run, you know, as a gunner underneath a ship, kind of thing.
Oh, very.
I was also thinking of adding some rally kind of, like,
oh.
Not so much a race, but like, you know, kind of, you know, you go here and you're trying to figure out a kind of a puzzle. It's more like a side quest, you know, like.
Oh, things. Sure. Yeah, there aren't a lot of space racing games that like focus on that. So it's usually like just one thing you can do. So no, I always enjoy that. I mean, Freelancer had a little of it. Evercron has some of it. So I do enjoy the space racing. Now, I did want to ask you, I forgot to mention this earlier, going back a different tangent. I have never heard of your other game, Stellar Mercenaries, until this Kickstarter.
You know, I'm watching a video of that, and I swear that I owned it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's possible.
Oh, you got one on me, man.
The big problem with that game is that Infogram ordered it from us, and their target was to put it on the Ocean Line. At the time, it was kind of a modem gaming online. Like you pay, let's say, $5-$10 a month, and they provide you with free games every month. And the problem is that by the time that we completed the game, they kind of pulled the plug on Ocean Line. So our game, which was supposed to go on Ocean Line, there was no more Ocean Line. So they kind of sold it to, you know, second-hand publisher as a, you know, as a single player game, because there was no servers to connect to anymore. So that, and they probably didn't publicize of the game because they didn't think it would be that popular.
I think that was one of those deals where I walked into Babbage's and I was like, "What's that? Hey, it's got a spaceship on it. You're coming with me."
Oh, I've done that. I did that many times. Remember Mantis? Remember that game?
Yeah. Oh, that was like God. Newtonian physics gone wrong.
Oh, so many things gone wrong in the game. And I bought it sight unseen because, ooh, spaceship on the cover. pretty much why I bought StarQuest. It's like, ooh, spaceship on the cover. That's all I need. But so I guess you can't really get Stellar Mercenaries now, huh? I mean, do you still have it? Is that like another one you could put on GOG?
No, that one I don't own the rights. So I just sold the exclusive rights to Infogram.
Oh, that is a bummer. Do they still exist, that company?
I mean, I know they're going bankrupt, Atari, these days, but I'm not too sure what's going to happen.
Yeah, because Infogrames bought Atari, and then Atari who are the people that made City of Heroes? But anyway, that whole outfit got taken up. No, it was I can't think of it. But anyway, they got bought out by NCSoft. So it's just like a bunch of fish eating each other kind of thing. So yeah,
till the big one wins.
Right. In the end, Chuck E. Cheese will rise and like an elder god to eat them all.
That's a shame because I would love. I mean, I'm trying to play every space game ever eventually, and it doesn't sound like there's any way I could play that one, so that's just a damn shame.
Well, I still have a few CDs if you want, I can send you
one. Well, yeah. Absolutely. I will chip in for shipping or postage or whatever. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, I'll take a note of that.
I will follow up on that, because damn, I want to try it.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, I remember at Infogram they had a problem, and they asked me to come over to see the problem. And for a week, I was at their test room, and it was like 10 people playing games, you know, to test the games of Infogram. And at lunch, I remember they would play my game. I was like, wow, so cool, guys. I mean, you're playing my game at lunch. it felt good.
I'm sure it did. It's a shame it went through. I mean, it fell through.
Well, I mean, that's what StarQuest II is there to repair all that. I mean, to to give back all these hours of work to.
I do have to ask the hard question because I'm looking at it right now, and you're about $1,500 out of $30,000 goal with 15 days left. So.
Yeah, it's still very slow. I mean, I think there's still missing something in the project, in the video, probably. I'm updating it on a week kind of thing. I'm finally going to find the button, I hope. But, I mean, 15 days is a lot when you think
about it. It is. It's 2 weeks. A lot can happen. Hopefully this...
And some games get 100K in one day, so you never know.
True.
Well, and you're not limited to one round of Kickstarter either, right? So,
true.
Yeah.
True.
There are a few people who've done 3 or 4 rounds. We've had them on the
show. Yeah, I heard of that.
And then there's Chris Roberts, for whom Kickstarter never stops. I think, honestly, Brian needs to put one of those like fundraiser thermometers on his site, but it's only the money that he has spent.
I'm not sharing that. That's a bad idea. I don't need people to see that. People see how much. Oh God, that's embarrassing. But yeah, I mean, I guess my question is, if this round of crowdfunding through Kickstarter does not work, do you have a plan B, like alpha funding, for example, like a lot of other games do, that kind of thing? Maybe Indiegogo.
Well, there's a lot of those, like Indiegogo, Rocket Hub, and like Jim said, like, you know, a second round of Kickstarter. But I mean, that does not prevent me from still continuing the game, which means that next time around it will look even more complete.
That's good.
That's a feeling I got, like, when I first received some comments, is that people kind of expect a beta almost on Kickstarter. Like, they don't, even though it's a starter project, they seem to expect almost finished product. So,
I don't know if people expect an almost finished product, but they expect to at least see something
visually.
You do have that. Like, I've seen some Kickstarters I haven't backed where it's just a bunch of words and some guy's dreams, and it's like, no, you need pictures, man. You need video, at least something. You can't just tell me what you want to do and expect me to toss coin at you. But you have plenty of visuals here. You got videos, you got pictures, you got text.
The feeling I got, like, recently is that there is some videos, yes, but the missing part is, like, people expect to see, like, what they're going to do in the game. And I haven't really explained that enough in the video itself. Like, it's more like, you know, like a concept art kind of video right now. And I think with the game playing, like, it would help people to, you know, understand what they're going to do.
Well, let's talk about how the game plays. I mean, you sent me a prototype from 99, and I did play it for a little bit. So the first, the top level is like the RTS level where you build ships. Mm-hmm. And you build factories and stuff, right?
Yes.
And how do you gain resources? I wasn't clear on that. So how do you, like, gain resources and such to build even more stuff?
Well, the 99 version you played didn't have really, like, the harvesting part.
Oh, okay.
That's new for this version. I mean, at the time, playing a lot of RTS in multiplayer, we found that, you know, like, the games were just too long in multiplayer. Like, sometimes you would play like an hour and a half and then you would lose and it felt really bad. And at that time we figured, let's put a fixed credit amount so the game lasts a fixed amount of time. And then, you know, you don't feel that burning sensation of having wasted an hour and a half. But I think there's some in between that we can achieve with, you know, like a minimum credit amount you start with and, you know, some grinding of resources to help you, like, go a little longer in the game, but not making it last, like, forever. And I think that's where we're heading right now.
Okay.
And that's the part. The harvest basically will have, like, you know, harvester kind of units that will go from, let's say, an asteroid or a gas source, and then we'll collect it and then we'll come back to the refinery, which will convert it into kind of, you know, tools to make more ships, or more harvester, or more buildings.
Right.
Much so, like most RTS, basically.
Right. So you build turrets and you build fighters, and then you could take control of fighters and turrets, it looks like.
Yes. That the goal is to really, like, have a mix between, you know, the first person shooter and the RTS and the space sim, basically. Like, you, like, if you need to go, let's say, destroy something important, like a nuke factory of the enemy, you know, like, you want to make sure, like, you're going to take the ship and you're going to maybe add a few ships to protect you while you do it, or, you know, send a couple of troops, you know, as bait somewhere, so you bring the enemy away and then you go do your surgical strike and then you come back, you know. And while you're doing it, you can, you know, order your men around with, like, you know, hotkeys, or just to escape, you come back to the RTS maps and then do some little thing and then come back in your ship, or switch ship if you see, like, your very important ship that, you know, let's say, puts a shield around your little fleet to protect them is being attacked and you want to, you know, force it to run away or repair it, then you can switch ship in between. That's one of the, that's an idea of a mission.
Right. And so it looked like the prototype at least had four campaigns.
The prototype has four campaigns. Oh, you mean races? Yeah, campaign races. Yes, yes, okay. You're right. Yes. That was the original, like, we had the basically, the United Galaxies, which is kind of, you could say, like, the Star Trek Federation or something.
Right.
But not necessarily, like, so united that, you know, all the ships are the same, like, because it comes from many different types of area in the galaxies. Like, you have many different culture, many technology, so it's kind of big pile of different technologies together. And that's like United Galaxies. Then you add, like, the big enemy, which is the Centurion Warlords. And those are, like, they live in one galaxy and they have, you know, one kind of technology. And then you add, like, the Praeson, which is kind of, you know, can think of it as the oldest race in the universe. And those are, like, you know, they're there. They try not to get in the way of anything. But then again, when you're getting in their way, they will go at you. And then there's the Zyron, which, I mean, we're kind of dropping it and putting in place instead kind of a robotic culture, like, you know, robots that wants to replicate themselves and, you know, conquer the universe, or the galaxy, at least. So those are the four main races that were in the StarQuest II. And those are the campaigns that goes with it, like, depending on where you start, you'll do different campaigns and different missions that not necessarily go through all the other races. So there's the replayability with that.
Right. And it looked like at least what I saw, the campaign looked, at least the example that was there in the prototype looked pretty, like, non-linear, like you could choose which mission you go on next. Is that how it's still planned?
Yeah, actually, it's planned to be even more open world than that, because
great.
We don't really want to have, like, a menu where you choose a mission. I mean, I think it removes the immersion of like a game when you have just a list you click, you know. We plan to basically, like, let people go freely between all the solar systems available. And depending, like, where they're at in the game, like, maybe the you know, the next step in the campaign will occur or not, you know. And we also plan to have some random scenario, like where you know, you advance and then, oh, okay, there's an enemy coming, or there's somebody who's getting attacked and you can help or not. So we're trying to add some random to make it, you know, more replayable. Like if you want to restart it, you'll do a completely different set of random scenarios.
Oh, very nice. I love that kind of openness, randomness. Yeah.
So hey, whenever I start the game, what resources do I begin with? Do I have like a command ship or
just... Well, the latest in the design is that you're basically moving from where you are because no work or whatever, and then you're kind of giving a choice of where you want to start, like and you'll choose kind of a space apartment, kind of like where you end up, and this will be your, like your, you know, like when you log in, that's where you're gonna pop up in the first time you start the game. And from there, you know, you'll have kind of a billboard or messages coming at you, like, you know, of offers of things to do. And then you can, you know, decide to do them or not. And like one of the concept was to start as a gunner, you know, like, it's basically a way to train the person, like without, you know, having a training mission. Like you try a few job as a gunner, so you're basically starting to learn the controls of the game while you do it, and then you earn money, etc., and then you can gain some respect, or I mean some levels of experience, and then you'll get offered a different job, like let's see, transport a cargo from solar system A to solar system C, and from there you can get, you know, maybe a pilot job and go on like this. You know, it's like a progression.
Well, very nice. So in the game, can you, like, is there like a role-playing element? So like can you gain rank, or can you gain the new abilities? Like you said, you can start as a gunner. Can you like move up to a pilot and maybe move up to something like how does that all work out?
Well, yeah, you start as a gunner, and you could skip if you take, let's say, a training mission or something, like and then once you get into the pilot, like you're gonna work for, let's say, the Galactic Guards to protect some areas, and you make some credits, and you can buy your own ship, and then start to go wherever you want. Sorry. And then do some different encounters, and you know, at one point you kind of leveling up in the XP, and at one point you'll get offered, you know, to control a fleet, and then you become slowly toward a fleet command. That's basically the top of your career in that game.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, I love not a lot of games I can think of, maybe two, give you that kind of career progression. Let's see. Besides that, there's Star Shatter, and there was some other Wing Commander clone where you're supposed to start as a freaking ensign and move up to Wing Commander, blah, blah, blah. Fragile Allegiance?
Yeah. I'm looking at some screenshots of the 1997 game, SQ1. And and there's one in particular where it looks like you're in low orbit or something, and there's a city in front of the player he's looking out the cockpit at. And this looks crazy good for a 1997 game, you know, in DOS before 3D acceleration was, you know.
Yeah, it was all done in Assembler, like, you know, writing every pixels on the screen. It was a lot of work.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting on the Kickstarter page to see some some then and now. You know, if you took a very similar scene and show it in the engine today,
versus that's a good idea.
What it was, because I remember how games were back then, and
oh yeah,
you know, seeing something like this back then, it was like, oh yeah, this is crazy good. So
I think the first game went out right after TIE Fighter, if I recall.
Well, yeah, TIE Fighter was 94, so that was the next year.
Yeah, so yeah. TIE Fighter was like kind of black and white. And
yeah, now if you want to do a TIE Fighter remake, Brian and I will personally fund the project.
I think there's a lot of IPs on that, so it's tough to do.
Don't even know. I mean, Disney obviously owns the Star Wars rights, but does Totally Games have a say in anything? You know, we don't know.
Well, it doesn't even have to be the same ships. It could just be that kind of gameplay. It's like, you could call it not TIE Fighter.
Bow TIE Fighter, there you go.
Well, for sure. I mean, we plan to have cool dogfighting
yeah.
You feel in that universe.
Well, I was even in the prototype. Honestly, I was enjoying the dogfighting. It was kind of rough, obviously, because just a prototype, but it felt fairly visceral. Like,
yeah. I mean, have you been able to try the Star Quest one?
No, I've not tried Star Quest. I didn't have time. I was just playing the prototype, and it seemed like when you were shooting an enemy ship, like little chunks would fall off of it and kind of drift away and stuff like that. And that was, especially for 1999, that's pretty cool.
That was a lot of work.
I'm sure it was. The sad thing about 99 was that's kind of when Space Sims like took a nap.
I guess
for a while. Well, Free Space 2 that year, one of the best in the ever, and sold a minuscule amount of copies.
Oh yeah, I don't know. It's possible. I know they've been dormant, all the space games, for 10 years almost.
Yeah.
So maybe I did like everybody else without knowing it.
I think you kind of did, and there's no damn thing wrong with that. I mean, we're in kind of an unexpected resurgence.
It is. Because I'm looking at all these new games, and there's a lot of games coming out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I never thought when I started the blog that I owned that there'd be all this new stuff to cover. I thought it'd be all old stuff. You know, but I barely even touch the old stuff because there's so much new stuff. Not that I'm complaining. It's just crazy.
Nah, it's tough to play all the games. I mean, there's so many of them.
And I could damn try. Oh, whoops, what happened? Just lost Kickstarter. All right, so back to Star Quest II. Now, you could be any of these races, these four races. So you gave us a brief rundown of the four races. What are like the main pluses and minuses of each of the four races that you could play in this game?
You mean in terms of gameplay?
Yeah, like does one race have a bonus to, like they build ships faster, and another race they're tougher, that sort of thing.
I mean, that's an adjustment phase that we haven't been, like I remember I have all these specs for the previous ones, like, you know, like this race goes faster, but has like less shield.
Right.
One doesn't have cloaking, and one has, stealth, etc. So, but these will be all readjusted, and I don't have really a fixed set of those yet. So it's still in the development right now.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you've been working on the game, revamping the game since August of this year.
Yeah, I started changing the engine toward OpenGL so it could be cross platform.
Oh.
And it's been a lot of work.
Well, would it be less work to start something completely new like Unity or something? Would that be easier?
It's an option. I mean, we're not putting it out of the way. It's just like for doing a demo fast. That was the easiest. It may not look exactly like, as nice as Unity, because obviously our engine is not completed at all. So, but I mean, to get all the ships and everything, I think it was the fastest way for now.
So how big of a development team do you have on this? Is it just you or a handful of people or what?
Well, there's a lot of job done by freelancers. Like, there was two of the two of the people that worked on the original StarQuest 1 was helping at the beginning of the project. And I hired a bunch of freelancers to help me a bit with the graphics. And but it's a very tiny team. I mean, it's gonna grow bigger with, you know, as the game progresses and as the funding arrives, I guess.
Right. Because so let's see, new engine, new asteroids. So how far along would you say you are in this new version? Like how much? Like, are you do you feel like you're 10% of the way, 20% of the way, that sort of thing, to completion?
Well, the original target date for the Kickstarter was May 2015, so it's 18 months.
Okay.
19 months from now. So I'm guessing like 4 months less than, you know. But even though the progress wasn't like as full-time as if we go... 100% on this, like it was more, right? Because it's still doing some consulting stuff.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Yeah, I'm guessing 10% is not a bad estimate.
Okay. How many people are working on the game besides yourself?
The code, I'm the only one for now. And,
okay.
And there was some tools done by two other people, like, you know, to convert stuff from 3D Studio Max and Blender and stuff like that. And other than that, it's graphics, and that's about it for now.
Okay. Because it sounds like it's just you doing a lot of work. It sounds pretty, it sounds pretty overwhelming, honestly.
Yeah, it is a lot of work. But, I mean, I love it, so I don't mind.
Now, is the $30,000, is that to... is that to fund yourself full time, or is that to bring on some more people to the team?
Well,
that sort of thing.
A bit of both. I mean, there's also kind of, you know, like we need, you know, like how should I say, not a fan base, but an interested, you know, people interested in it. Like we need a. Some people, I mean, we're not going to do a game if there's like, you know, nobody's interested in it. So obviously that's part of the Kickstarter project, is to bring people in. And also, you know, once the design phase starts, we're going to let people play it and, you know, adjust it so that everybody's happy. That's part of the 30,000 also. Like, it's an amount of people also, not just an amount of money.
Oh, I see.
Because obviously, I mean, the 30,000 won't fund a game. I mean, the idea is that if I can get, like, you know, that 30,000 up front, it's kind of an insurance that, you know, if people can pay to get a game in a year and a half in advance, then I'm expecting maybe 2, 3, 10 times as many when the game is released, you know.
Oh,
that's my expectations.
So in the game, I guess even in the original game, whenever you jump into a ship, do you have, because you play it sort of like an RTS, right? So you build factories,
yes,
and they produce ships, and then you just pick a ship and say, I want to directly control that.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So what advantage does it give to jump into a ship and do that? Because you're kind of you're ignoring the RTS side, right? So big things could be happening on the map, but you're focused
well,
in a small fighter.
When you jump, you don't necessarily lock yourself in, you know, for the rest of the game. I mean, it could be a temporary, like I said earlier, like a surgical strike, or you want to, you know, that unit. Sorry, you want that unit to go exactly there and do exactly that. I mean, and let's say you have like a unit that's very important that costs, let's say, a fortune to make, and you want to protect it. So, and you're seeing like the AI is not, you know, exactly doing what you want, and you say, oh my goodness, I'm gonna lose that unit. I wanna go there and protect it, you know.
Can you hotkey a unit so that you can jump from the map back to the unit,
yeah,
back and forth?
Yeah, for sure. Like, the plan is to have a programmable keyboard, like you can program almost any. Like right now, there's already a lot of keys done for that, like D for drive a unit, escape jumps back and forth between the map and the unit, and like tab, you can jump into your units one after the other. Like there's a lot of keys like that will help you know, manage this massive kind of stuff. And also, like, some missions are planned to be a bit more RTS. Some other missions are planned to be a bit more, like, you know, space sim, where you'll get three units, let's say, and you have to do, you know, like a sneak attack here, and then you go back there, you destroy this, and you protect that. You know, like, we're trying to give variety to the player, like, so it doesn't feel like he's repeatedly, you know, in a ship trying to dogfight the others. You know, like, that's cool, but I mean, we're trying to add more to that.
Yeah, because a traditional RTS model, you know, if you're especially like playing multiplayer or whatever, is just go in and treat it like a sandbox, right? So, but it sounds like here you're going to actually have a story arc and like a series of missions that will ask the player to do specific things rather than just say, here's your base and enough money to start a factory, and then what you do with it, you know, whatever, and it's just a sandbox mode game. So, I mean, that makes a big difference too in there. As long as you still have the ability to just say, okay, I just want to fire it up and go sandbox and do whatever I want too.
Yeah. If you like, I mean, some people like to just, you know, create a big defensive base and wait until the credits of the enemy vanishes. I mean, that's something you can do too. You'll just have a 3D environment to look at it and, you know, enjoy it. You know, if that's what you like. We're trying to give more options to the gamer, basically.
Yeah, well, it's a thing where I've run into in some games where it's almost it's a balance between setting up a scenario of, okay, here's this problem, you have to destroy this thing, and then you have your starting resources, and then you can go out and mine asteroids, get more resources to build the, however you want to tackle that, right? But it's like the victory condition is to accomplish this thing, but you're on your own to solve it, versus games that say you have to solve it in this particular manner, and we're going to tie one arm behind your back because you don't have a tech tree. And I most recently experienced that actually in a 4X game where they limited the tech tree down. The AI was really cheaty. And then whenever I took it over into sandbox mode, I got away from the scenario stuff. Which was really like doing a Rubik's Cube. You know, it's like you have to do exactly the right things or you lose. And then I put it in sandbox mode, and it was like, wow, this is a really enjoyable game. But I was trying to play the linear mission path, and I was just miserable with it. So it's kind of a balance there of, do you make like puzzly things, or do you just set goals and then, you know, change the map so that players can solve things different ways? I mean, how did you accomplish that in the first game?
You mean the Star Quest one, you mean?
Yeah.
There was no RTS in that game. I mean, there was a bit of RTS in the last two missions because you had like 3 to 5 wingmen. So you had to decide, you know, like, I have 3, you know, like, you know, cruiser to protect because they're needed to destroy the base at the end. I don't have the firepower, so I have to protect them.
Okay, so it was more like a traditional flight sim kind of thing.
Yes, the first one was more traditional.
Okay, because I just saw some of the screenshots that were, I guess, a map view, and I kind of mistook that for, you know, where you'd control stuff on the map, too. But, okay, so, but anyway, in this one, you're going to have...
It's probably briefing you saw, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, a spider just lowered itself, like, an inch from my face.
Oh, that's always fun.
And then it lowered itself right in front of my face and then stopped, like it was looking at me. It just stopped at my eye level, and then I got up, and then it started crawling back up
to see you
to my eye level. Then it stopped again, and then it crawled all the way up to the ceiling fan above my desk here.
Oh, So
oh, now it's crawling down again, for God's sakes. And it did closer to me. Oh, my God. What the fuck, spider?
Do you want to climb up on a chair?
I backed away, and it's going back up.
I know.
And I backed away, and it's... Oh, my God.
And your girlfriend's not there to save you. Whatever will you do?
I'm not going
to
kill a spider. You don't kill spiders. That's bad luck. And spiders
it's bad luck for
things.
The spider. I know that much.
Oh, spiders kill other things, don't they?
When you're sleeping, they crawl down your...
Not all spiders are poisonous. They're just creepy.
Why is it that all of our podcasts end in disaster? Last week, we caught The Office on fire. This week, you're going to die from a brown recluse bite. Have you ever seen... Go on Google and Google up brown recluse tissue necrosis.
No, I don't want to sit down at my computer right now because the spider is hanging out over it. Like, the cord for my headphones are about, 7 feet long? So I'm standing halfway across the room here.
I usually catch them with a cup. Like, you just put a cup up until you touch the ceiling, and then you can just put a
cart. Yeah, I do that too, but the cup's on fire. And
I can't get to a cup right now. I can't get to anything right now. Oh, now it's going back down. Oh, I'm so distracted. Game stuff. Yeah. Oh, God, what are you doing, spider? What are you doing? Okay, if it goes down on the ground, one of my cats are probably going to go after it.
Why don't you hoist a cat up there?
You hold it up.
Yeah, just hold it up and be like, see that?
I cannot reach the cat right now. She's on the other side of the room.
Fling it. They call it the catapult.
No, I
just
like
don't throw
cat.
The cat into the ceiling fan because that.
Oh, I should turn around. I lost it. No, there you are, you fucker. Oh, what are you doing?
Don't call it names. If you won't kill it, you shouldn't insult it either.
But oh my God, spiders freak me out. Like, I'm playing Skyrim right now, and I'm in one of the Dawnguard missions, and it's like a really dark cavern I'm in, and it's just spiders dropping all over me, and I can't play it. I can't play it because it freaks me out.
Paul's adding spiders to the game design document
God damn
right
it,
now.
No, don't add space spiders to the game. Is it on my... Oh, I think the cat sees it. Okay, what are you doing?
So you won't kill the spider, but it's okay to watch the cat kill the spider because that's nature.
Exactly. It's the circle of life, my friend. I have no problem with that. That's what cats do, man. I mean, that's what they're supposed to do anyway. Oh, man, where'd you go, you little invader? Oh, I don't know where it went now. Oh, I'm all freaked out. I hate spiders. I really hate spiders.
See, now you're going to be paranoid, like, all night. You're not even going
to
sleep.
I'm not
going
to be able to sleep. Because
that thing's going
to
be, like, in your bed.
I'm going to take some ZQL, and I'm going to knock myself the hell out, because that's the only way I'm going to be able to sleep. sorry, Paul. That's
no problem.
Like I said, these things get random, and I just wanted to explain why I was quiet.
Some more random than others.
I just wanted to explain why I was quiet for a while because that was freaky.
Wait till the night a bear comes into Brian's apartment. then he'll have
a
legitimate
excuse.
Okay, I'm in
Los Angeles in a gated apartment complex. It would take a bear would have to go through a lot of city. To get to here.
What if it was a spider bear? An eight-legged
bear? Oh, God,
that might
be the most scary. That might be the most terrifying thing in the universe. A spider bear?
Okay, so, Paul, write this
and
down.
You need
eight-legged spider space spider bears.
And they're all...
Flying spider bears.
And all the tendrils, the eight legs, they're all big paws. They're all big bear paws. And they'll just stomp.
Yeah, and their nails are actually... other claws, right? So they have like every claw ends in a claw made out of claws.
Oh my God, this is like
and they all spin webs and they can shoot them.
There goes any sleep I'm gonna have tonight. If I do sleep, I'll have nightmares about spider bear. does whatever
the fuck it wants because it's a spider bear.
Yeah, it's like the Simpsons movie Spider Peak or something like that.
Oh, my God. Wow, that might be one of the most random-ass tangents we've done on this podcast. Well,
glad to be here.
First, we're starting the Paul of Fame, and now, oh, my God.
See, this is the night you don't turn your webcam on, and we could be witness to all this.
I never turn. You know what? I don't know if the cam could have seen the spider because it was right there. It was like at my eye level and the camera is eye level. So who knows? The camera might have caught the spider. I don't even know where the spider is now. Great. God damn it.
You know what they call? You know what they call this? A house fire.
Burn it with purifying fire. Duke, oh, wait. My cat is wiggling its butt. I think it sees something. It's going to attack it. It's very focused.
Turn the webcam on. Come on.
No, because then I would have to actually put on pants. And that's just really not my thing.
And it's been a great evening on the Space Game Junkie podcast. So sorry we got to go. TMI. I didn't know you weren't wearing pants. Don't ever tell me.
I mean, I'm not completely uncovered down there, but I'm not wearing pants.
Well, wonder the spider's scary, because you're not wearing pants. If you were wearing anti-spider pants, then you'd be fine. But now, you must protect yourself.
The pajamas I am wearing are not very protective of barely much anything.
Oh, so you're wearing pajamas. It's not like you're there in your thong, right? So, whatever. Oh, my gosh. It's not like you have to protect your whatever. From the spider. Wow.
No.
Did the cat get it? Can we go on?
I think we can move. I don't even know where it went.
Must go on.
Yeah, what were we talking about?
Spider bears.
Spider bears. Dude, spider bears, and that'd be a really great enemy. Spider bears.
Yeah. Although, well, they had that one game that was on Steam, the game that shall not be mentioned, but they had space bears, and we saw how that turned out.
Really? Well, that was probably one of the better things about that game.
Were the space bears? Hell yeah, that's what sold me the game.
Talking about Star Drive, Paul, if you've not heard of that game.
I heard that name, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's a Space 4X that kind of got released incompletely.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of
Yeah,
sad.
It was unfortunate the dev walked away from it, and then he posts stuff on Twitter like, oh, I just want to make something else. And it's like, finish that one, man. We gave you money.
So the cat didn't attack the spider. The cat attacked the cord for the headphones, almost pulling it out. Thank you.
The cat is not a smart animal.
Oh, my God. And I was thinking of drinking. I was thinking of drinking tonight because Nicole left some bourbon down here, and I was going to have some, but I didn't. And
why
don't
you leave some bourbon out, and maybe the spider will help itself and stumble out the door?
Drunk spider. Yeah, that'd be funny. Drunk spider bears.
It'll wake up next to you in bed and have a lot of regrets tomorrow.
Oh boy. Where is this going? Anywho, oh my God. So, Paul, have you been playing any space games lately besides the one you're working on?
Well, recently, I haven't played that many space games. I played a few RTS, a few RPGs, but no, not well, there's not that many that I saw that I wanted to play, but. That's for sure one thing I'll have to do as soon as all the big ones are coming out. I know there's a few that are coming out, at least as alpha or stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are a few big ones.
So it's always good to, you know, keep informed of what others are doing, for sure.
There's so many. Thing is, there aren't a lot of... I mean, there are a few space sims, but there aren't that many. I mean... Not the first person ones, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's Star Citizen, Elite.
Yeah, those two.
So, what were your influences in the past? Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, like we talked about TIE Fighter, right? What else did you used to play?
I mean, I think the idea for the game came from I was playing like maybe Microsoft Flight Simulator, like, and then I tried X-Wing. X-Wing, like one of the first one that LucasArts did, I think.
Yeah.
And one thing that was annoying me a lot is that I could never see the TIE Fighter. Like, yeah, couldn't follow it long enough to see it more than 5 frames. And I was like, why don't they let us show? I mean, see it. I mean, the game is all about destroying it and you can never see them.
But you have to use the force. So
So I made my game so that you could really tail your ship, you know, like follow it and, you know, you know, like to get to see it, basically. And that's what I wanted. Like, one of the reasons, anyway, I made the game. Other things I wanted to go, like, you know, light speed, you know, backwards, stop in space, like all these things I've added in the game because I didn't find any other games that let the user do that. You know, like fly by a moon at light speed and stuff like that. That sounded cool. And that's one of the many reasons I started doing the game.
Very cool.
And obviously, like the Star Wars and Star Trek that everybody got, you know, impregnated with the idea of space.
Yeah, those did inspire a lot of people. Yeah. I mean, for a while, there were only Star Trek games, like in the 70s. Mm. That's all there were.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a while. And
no good came of that. That was
No, that's not true. It's not true. There was some good stuff.
Was that Trek 73?
Well, that was not great. But the Super Star Trek was great. And did you guys ever have a Vectrex? Did you guys ever have a Vectrex?
No.
It was like the first portable gaming system. And when I say that, it was like a 15-inch portable like CRT with a joystick plugged into it. But it was portable because it had its own CRT. That's why it was portable. It wasn't like a Vita or anything. And it had a Star Trek game. And it was like a first-person kind of sim thing. Not sim, but shooter, really. And it was great. Awesome.
Was it any relation to the Star Trek arcade game?
It was very similar to that one, yes. Yes, it's very similar to that one where you just ran around shooting Klingons. Even though the movie had one Klingon in it, the motion picture, which is what the game was based on, I think. But you never really got to V'ger or anything. You just shoot a bunch of Klingons. That was the whole game.
Yeah, there's a lot of those.
Anyway, this seems like a good place to wrap it up, I think. It seems like a good stopping point.
Where's the spider at?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Doomed.
I need
to, doomed. You're gonna be like to, you're gonna be like Frodo, man, or not Frodo, Bilbo. Just like wake up in a cocoon and be like,
oh god,
and you won't. Yeah,
with wide eyes.
Yeah. When did that happen? Oh, was that in the?
That's in the next one.
Oh, I haven't even seen the Hobbit yet.
Bilbo and the Hobbit when they got caught.
In the third Lord of the Rings, I think near the end.
Oh yeah, no, that was in the third one with that giant spider.
Well, that
thing.
Was the giant spider, so. But in spoiler alert. In the Hobbit, Desolation of Smaug.
Oh, they have that too. Okay, I didn't see that.
Is that spider in there too? Because that scene freaks me out.
Yeah, all the dwarves get caught by spiders, and then Bilbo has to cut them loose.
Oh, I am so not seeing that movie now. They just lost my money. That sounds awful. That sounds absolutely terrible. Well, Paul, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us on this random ass podcast. But we learned a lot about your game and what you have in store. And I hope it brings some more people, into your cut and to help. What am I trying to say? I hope it helps convince some people to kick to your coffers.
I hope it brings a lot more spiders to your house, Brian.
Stop it.
Fun.
God damn it. Don't wish that on me. No, Ooh. Jim, I wish spider bears on you. That's what I wish. God. I wish your house to be infested with clawy spider bears. Eat it, Jim. Just
wow.
Seriously, that is the most terrifying thing I've ever heard.
I read a statistic somewhere about like how many spider bears you're supposed to swallow in your sleep on a yearly basis.
Oh God.
Anyway,
so folks, thank you for joining us as always, Paul. Thank you so much for.
Oh,
taking the time to tell us about your game. Our pleasure. We love talking to devs about their game. So it's our pleasure. And folks, as always, you can contact us through hail@spacegamejunkie.com or leave comments below. Thank you for listening and good night.
Let's have some music in here, Boiler. Sure thing.
Down, but I see the only one. Try to think I'm over you. I find I've just begun. The years move faster than the days. There's no more in the light. And how I miss. skies. You're